You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Triasar podcast. Last week, we discussed a prophecy in Amos, in Perek Hay, where Amos rails against the mistaken religious ideas that the people at that time had. Ideas which were not only wrong, but which encouraged corrupt behavior. We talked a lot about the korbanot that they would bring, thinking that it was sort of like a type of magic. If you do something wrong, you bring a korban and everything is right. It is right again, and this encourages them to be corrupt. The bottom line of that prophecy is you are evil, and your mistaken, corrupt ideas about Avodat Hashem are not going to save you. Today, we're going to be continuing with the next Nevuah in Sefer Amos. And in the prophecy that we're going to learn today, Amos addresses another aspect of life among Am Yisrael at the time, which involves another thing which the people think will save them, but of course, this again, like the other thing, will not save them. The Nevuah that we're looking at today is in Perek Vav. Right? It begins with the word hoy, like last week's prophecy. Right, hoy, like I said last week, means basically like oivavoy, right? Woe to those who, etc. We will see in a moment what he's bemoaning this time. And like I mentioned last time, there's a series of these hoy prophecies in the book of Amos. What does he say this time? Pasuk Aleph, hoy hasha'ananim b'tzion v'habotchim b'har shomron. Nekuvei reshit hagoyim uvau lahem bet Yisrael. Right? Woe to those who are so complacent. Right? Sha'ananim. Sha'anan is complacent. They are so sure of themselves. Right? Who are we talking about? Right? Hasha'ananim b'tzion v'habotchim b'har shomron. Right? Tzion and Shomron being the capitals of the two kingdoms of Am Yisrael. Tzion in the south, in Malchut Yehuda, and Shomron in the north, in Malchut Yisrael. So the people of those places, right, who are, the Pasuk continues, Nikuvei Reshit HaGoyim Uvau Lahem Beit Yisrael. Right, who are these people? Right, the leaders, the heads, the Reshit HaGoyim. Right, they are the self-designated leaders or the actual leaders of the nations. What is goyim here? So we think of the word goyim usually as referring to those other than Am Yisrael, but goy, as you probably know, basically means nation. And in many places in Tanakh, goy refers to Am Yisrael, right? Mamlachet kohanim v'goy kadosh, right? That refers to Am Yisrael. So it could be here when it talks about reshit goyim, right? That it's talking about the heads of these two nations, Yehuda and Yisrael. It could also possibly be that they see themselves as leaders of all nations, right? That they are the top of the whole world. In all cases, uvau lahem Beit Yisrael, right? These leaders to whom all of Beit Yisrael come, right? What are they coming to them for? For judgment, for help, for leadership, whatever it is that you're supposed to go to leaders for.
Ivru chalne ureu ulechu misham chamat rabba. Uridu gam gat plishtim,
right? So now the next pasuk says, go to these various places, chalne, chamat rabba, right? Gat plishtim. These are all names of places, right? Cities of other nations, right? Go to all of these places.
Hatovim min hamamlachot ha'ele, im rav gvulam migvulchem.
Are these places, are these nations, these kingdoms, are they greater, min ha-mamlachot ha'ela, are they greater than these mamlachot, meaning greater than Tzion and Shomron? Is their gvul greater than the gvul of Yehuda and Shomron? Right? So what exactly the point of this pasuk is not entirely clear. There are different ways of understanding it. Right? One possibility is, right, these are obviously rhetorical questions. The question is how to understand them. So one possibility is, are these nations greater than Israel and Yehuda? And the answer is yes, Mitzrayim is bigger, right? And these other nations are bigger. Is their territory bigger than yours? Right? And the answer is yes, it is bigger. And yet they were destroyed. In other words, the Navi is pointing to these complacent nations of Israel and Yehuda and saying these nations that are far greater than you, far bigger and stronger than you, have been destroyed, right? So don't be so sure of yourselves. That's one way of understanding it. Another commentary that is brought on this pasuk is: are they greater? The Navi is saying to these leaders of Israel and Yehuda, go to these places, right? Go look at them. Are their mamlachot any stronger, any greater than yours? And the answer is no, right? They are no stronger than Am Yisrael. However, and this is the unspoken intention of the pasuk according to this understanding, and yet those places have tzedek, they have mishpat, right? They don't oppress the weak, as we will see in a moment that Amos addresses this problem of the leaders of Am Yisrael at the time, right? So it's a way of comparing Am Yisrael to them, to these other nations, and saying, right, compare yourself to them. They are not just. They are just. But you are not. They protect their citizens, so to speak, but you do not. Another way of understanding it, this pasuk, is that these are the words of the leaders themselves, right? Yisrael comes to them, Uvau lahem beit Yisrael, and the leaders themselves say to them, Ivru chaleu, u lechu misham chamat raba, redu gat plishtim, hatavim el hamamachot ha'ela, im rav guvula migvuchem. Any of these other places that you go to see, they say to their people, to their citizens, are any of these nations greater than what you have? Meaning the leaders are trying to, they're self-promoting their leadership. See all that we have done for you. See that how good you have it compared to these other nations. However, this not-so-clear pasuk is meant to be understood, the leaders don't come out looking so good. Pasuk Gimel, Haminadim liyomra v'tagishud shevet Hamas. Right, what do these people do? Right? They push off the day of evil, right? This is similar to what we saw in the last Nevuah that we looked at, right? Hoy Koyamitavim liyom Hashem, right? There it's described that the people are looking forward to Yom Hashem, right? Because they have this mistaken idea of what a Yom Hashem is. They think that Yom Hashem will be good for them, not understanding that Yom Hashem is a day which will be their day of punishment. So here's the kind of the same idea in reverse. Haminadim liyomra. They keep pushing off the day of evil, right? Oh, this theoretical day of evil, right? It's not coming anytime soon. It's not something that's going to come upon us to punish us. Right? They keep pushing off. It's something that's far in the distant future, if it exists at all. Vatagishud shevet Hamas. Right, but what do they bring close? Right, Vatagishud is the opposite of Haminadim. Minadim is they push off. Vatagishud, they bring close. Shevet Hamas. Right, Shevet Hamas is kind of like the council of evildoers, right? The ones, their council, their group of leaders who plan all sorts of terrible things. Hamas, that's what they bring close. And then the Navi goes on to describe what these leaders are like, right? What their lifestyle, so to speak, is like in a very detailed, graphic description. Hashochvim al mitot shen usiruchim al arsotam. They are lying down on beds of ivory, and they are spread, suruchim, on these beds, right? They spread themselves out. The another possible understanding of Samech Resh Chet, Suruchim, is not that they are spread out, but in the Midrash, there's a play on the word masriach, right? They stink. Now, this is probably a later meaning of the word. It's probably not the pshat of the pasuk, but there's a lot of play in the Midrash of being spread out and stinking. But these were like these people who stink, like probably more figuratively speaking than literally. Although in the Midrash, there's some explanation of why literally they smelled as well. Ve'ochlim karim mitzon ve'agalim mitoch marbek. And while they're spread out on these luxurious beds, they're eating fattened sheep, lambs, and they are eating calves that were taken from the marbek. The marbek is a place where the baby calves are fattened up, right? So they're eating all of these fattened, luxurious types of meats. Haportim al pi hanavel, kedavid chashvu lahem kleshir. Right, they're sitting there plucking on their musical instruments. They're playing music, and they envision themselves as if they are like David Hamelech playing on his nevel. Right, the comparison, of course, being a sarcastic one. Right, they're not like David Hamelech in the way that they play, but that's how they see themselves. Hashotim b'mizrakei yain v'reshit shemanim yimshachu. They are drinking from mizrakei yain. A mizrak is like a big bowl. Right, they're not drinking a glass of wine; they're drinking a bowl of wine. V'reshit shemanim yimshachu, and they anoint themselves with the choicest of oils. Velo nechlu al shever Yosef. Lo nechlu, they don't worry themselves, they don't bother themselves, al shever Yosef. Shever Yosef could refer to a couple of things. Or rather, the words have one meaning, but what it refers to could be a couple of things. Shever Yosef, the tzara, the troubles, the that which is smiting, hurting Yosef. Yosef being the nickname, so to speak, of Yisrael. So what could that be referring to? Either that they don't care that they're bad behavior is what is going to bring the downfall of Yosef, meaning of Yisrael, or that they don't care about the others in Yisrael while they're sitting spread out on these luxurious beds, eating and drinking and making merry. They don't care about the poor, the downtrodden, who have nothing and who are suffering. So we get a very very clear depiction here of these spoiled, luxury-loving leaders who don't care about the people, the rest of the nation. And that you can see from the simple reading that we have done up until now. If you look at this description a little bit more closely, one sees an even deeper understanding of what the Navi is saying here. For example, if you look at the description of these parties, these meals, whatever it is that these people are doing while they're lying spread out on the beds, almost every single one of the words has significance, right? We are told that that they are eating, right, sheep and calves, or they are drinking wine from a mizrak, right, and they are anointing themselves, yimshachu, with the finest of oils, right, and that they are playing the music upon a nevel. They are playing shirim, songs, on the nevel, on the string musical instrument. Each of these things, in addition to describing this very lush scene, this very luxurious scene, in a very non-complimentary way, it also hints each and every one of these things to a different context in which these things are used. That being, of course, the Beit HaMikdash, right? Interestingly, in Tanakh, the word that is generally used for anointing oneself with oil, when it is talking about a non-religious context, is the word lasuach. Right? That's the word that Lasuch, sorry. That's the word that's generally used for anointing oneself. The word limshach, right, which is used here, right? Bereshit Shemanim Yimshachu. That is a word that is used in the context of religious anointing with oil in the Mishkan, in the Beit HaMikdash. The Mizrak, from which they drink the wine, the bowl from which they drink the wine, is mentioned often in the context, again, of the Avodat Hashem, right? When the Nisi'im bring their gifts to the Mishkan, at the dedication of the Mishkan, we hear over and over again, Mizrak Echad Kesef, right? They bring, right? These are types of vessels that were used in the context of Avodat Hashem. Also, Nevel, Shir, these are words that are used in the context of the Levi'im, right? Playing music in the Beit HaMikdash. And of course, what they are doing during these luxurious meals is eating things which are potential korbanot, right? The meat and the wine, right? These are things that could have been brought as korbanot, right? So that we see, that all of these things, which could have been used for Avodat Hashem, right, is being used by these leaders essentially for Avodah Atzmi, if you want to call that, Avodah Atzmit. Right? They are worshipping themselves, in a sense, rather than using these things for Avodat Hashem. Right? Clearly, right, since we are specifically know that he's talking to the leaders of Am Yisrael, clearly their leadership has led them to a path of self-worship. And we see this, again, perhaps in another phrase that is used in the psukim which we have read. Right, that's the end of pasuk vav. That they do all of these things: the wine, the meat, etc., etc., etc. Velo nechlu al shever Yosef. Right, they don't care about the downfall, the troubles of Yosef, meaning Am Yisrael. One can't help, entertain the idea that perhaps there is a different Yosef that is being alluded to, and that being, of course, Yosef ben Yaakov, right, who, as we know, was sold down to Mitzrayim and becomes the Mishneh LaMelech. Why in that context? Why is perhaps in this context, is that what is being referred to over there? This perhaps is hinted to in an idea that one sees in a Midrash on the story of Yosef. Right, in Breshit, Perek Mem Bet Pasuk Vav, right, it says, the pasuk, the next pasuk, Lachen Ata Yiglu Birosh Golim, right, therefore, because of all of these things which Amos has now described, you will be exiled in front of everybody else. But then we know that the first to go out into the Galut were the upper crust. Visar Mirzach Suchim, right? And, you know, all of this, these parties, celebrations of sorts, of these people spread out on their beds will be removed. Nishba Adonai Elohim b'nafsho ne'um Elohei tzevaot mita'ev anochi et go'on Yaakov v'armelotav saneti v'hiskarti ir umlo'a. Right? Hashem says here, right, that he detests, right, Yisrael, right, and the armonot, their big palaces, he hates v'hiskarti ir umlo'a. Right? So what does this mean? V'hiskarti ir umlo'a. Right, I will do something to the entire city. Well, what is hiskarti? So, most understand hiskarti as I will hand them over, meaning when they will be sent into galut and handed over to the enemy. Interestingly, in Targum Yonatan here, he understands hiskarti irubloa, right? And they will be smitten with tzara'at, right? And this is clearly based on the fact that in the description of the mitzora, the one with tzara'at in Sefer Vayikra, right? One of the things that is repeated over and over again is that the kohen hiskir, he kind of shuts up in the sense of he closes he imprisons him in a sense. He sets him aside in a separate place. The person with tzara'at, And so therefore, that's the route that the Targum Yonatan takes in this case. It's interesting because, right, one of the causes, so to speak, of Tzarat that is mentioned in a number of sources. For example, take a look in Vayikra Rabbah Yud Zayin Gimel, where it lists the different causes for a person getting Tzarat. One of the main reasons that is brought up, and this comes up in a lot of different stories where Tzarat appears, is haughtiness. That people get Tzarat because they are haughty, because they are they think too highly of themselves. This might also be connected to other famous reasons for Tzarat, right? If someone speaks Lashon Hara, right, it shows a certain feeling of superiority over other people. So whether or not that's the pshat here, and I'm not sure that it is, that's clearly the understanding that source is playing with, right? Picking up on the idea that the chet here, the sin, the thing that the people are doing wrong, is or the thing that is leading them to do wrong is their haughtiness. They feel that the fact that they are great and strong and powerful is going to save them. Right, and we'll protect them. They push off the evil day that is coming because they feel that nothing will ever able to ruin this perfect situation that they have created for themselves. And the Navi is saying, nope, that's not the case. And the Targum Yonatan, which picks up on this problem, the flaw of these leaders, by pointing out that it is their haughtiness which is leading them down the improper path. This flaw of haughtiness is continued. The description of it is continued in the rest of the parak of this nevuah. V'haya ki yivatru asara anashim bevayit echad vametu. Right, when the punishment comes upon the city, if there are 10 people left in one house, right, and the entire city is destroyed, there are 10 people left in the entire city, and they are concentrated in one house. Or, you know, people are hiding together, grouped together, huddled in houses. Vametu, and they will all die, right? This is reminiscent of what we saw in the previous Nevuah, right, where the people escape from the lion and they meet up with the bear, and then in the end it's the snake that gets them, right? Here also there's a sense of inevitability, right? There are people hiding out, thinking they are safe or relatively safe inside this house, but they will be destroyed as well. They will be killed as well. Unisao dodo umisarfo, right? The dod, right? The uncle of one of the people in the house comes to take him out, umisarfo, right? To burn him or to burn for him. It's not clear exactly what this means, but some people say because of there's magefa, there's disease, it was common to burn bodies so that the disease wouldn't spread, or misarfo, maybe to light a fire for them and as some sort of memorial. Not clear exactly, but in all cases, the next of kin is coming in to take care of the dead body inside the house, ulehotzi atzamim min habayit, to take the bones out of the house, va'amar la'asher biyarkete habayit, Ha'od imach, va'amar afes. Right there, huddling in the house, he finds a single survivor, and it says to that person, "Is there anyone else alive in there with you?" Right, and the person says, "Afes." Right, nobody else has survived. Va'amar has. Right, one of them. It's not clear if it's the dod or the person in the house says, "Has, shh, quiet." Right, kilo lahaskir, b'shem Hashem. Right, again, the end of this pasuk, not entirely clear how to read it, right? Either va'amar has kilo lahaskir, right? It says, shh, don't say a word, meaning it's so terrible we can't even talk about it, right? Right, b'shem Hashem, coming to emphasize this even more, to strengthen it, right? Right, the name of God, like, don't even say a word about this because it's just too horrible to talk about. Or kilo lahaskir b'shem Hashem, right? Like, don't say a word because you don't want to mention the name of God in such a terrible place, right? One way or another, right, we see the horrific nature of what is being described here, right? Somebody comes in to find a house full of dead people, one lone survivor, right? Terrible destruction all around. Right? This is what's going to happen to these people, right? Again, emphasizing the inevitability of it and the terribleness of it. Ki hinei Hashem mitzaveh V'hika habayit hagadol resisim. These great palaces, these big palaces, will be destroyed to small pieces, broken up to shards. V'habayit hakaton b'ki'im. And the smaller houses will be broken into smithereens. Right, nothing will be spared. Why will this happen? Ki hafachtem the rosh mishpat ufrit tzedakah lela'ana. Because you have turned, right, mishpat, justice, into rosh. Rosh here being a plant which is very, very bitter. You've turned mishpat, which is supposed to be something sweet, something life-giving, into something poisonous and bitter. Ufrit tzedakah lela'ana. The fruit of righteousness you've turned into le'ana, another type of bitter, unpleasant plant. A play on words here, clearly being made on v'hafachtem lerosh mishpat. Rosh, we're talking about the leaders, reshit, right? So they are the thing which is bitter, and they are the things which have turned the mishpat into something terrible, into something bad. Right? Last two psukim in this nevuah, again emphasizing the haughtiness of these leaders, which is what is going to lead to their downfall. Hasemechim lilo davar, ha'omrim halo bechoskenu. Lakachnu lanu karnayim, right? This pasuk is also could be read on two different levels, right? Hasmechim lilo davar, they are happy about nothing, right? And they say because of our strength, we have taken karnayim. Karnayim being a symbol of strength, we have overcome our enemies, right? We have done it. It is all because of us. Kochi ba'otzam yadi yasali etachayil, is in a different context, of course, right? But as some Mefarshim point out, these are probably referring to different places, different actual conquests that took place. Hasmechim lelo davar, they are happy about nothing, but lelo davar, there's mentioned in other places in Nach, a place called Lo Davar, that was the name of the place, right? Lo Davar, in some places Dvir, right? So it's a play on words. They're happy about their conquest of this place, Lo Davar, right, but hasmechim lo davar. But they're really happy about nothing, right? Lakachnu lanu karnaim, right? So there's also a place called Ashtarot Karnaim, right? So they are happy about the conquest of this place, but they shouldn't be. The Navi is saying they think it's all because of their strength, and they're going to be reminded very soon that this is not the case. Ki hineni mekim alechem Beit Yisrael nu'um Hashem Elohei Tzevaot goy. When I, because the Navi concludes, I'm going to send. Well, Hashem says, I'm going to send a nation v'lachatzu etchem, and they are going to oppress you, to cause trouble for you. Milevochamat ad nachal ha'arava, right, throughout your entire land, from the very north to the very south. Right, you are about to be given a tremendous wake up call. The Navi says here, you are so sure of yourself, you're so happy and self-satisfied, right? But very soon you will see that this is nothing to that your success has nothing to do with you, and your downfall has everything to do with your haughtiness and the bad path down which you have walked. So once again, we see in this nevuah, like in the previous one, The Navi explaining to the people why their own misconceptions are that which are leading to their downfall, right? And with the emphasis, of course, on the averot, the transgressions, ben adam l'chaveiro, right? There's a lot of ben adam l'makom in the background, but the emphasis in Amos is the bad things that some people, particularly the leadership, are doing regarding the others in the nation, the weaker. The people who don't have the wealth or the power to protect them. That's it for today's podcast, and I look forward to continuing with you next week.